Now that we're spending a lot more time in our homes, I don't know about you, but we're playing some more games. We're getting out board games and card games. We've been playing all kinds of stuff, crazy games. One game that we used to play a lot is dominoes. I remember going over to Dick and Alexa Castle's house, and then we'd go to Dave and Mitzi Castelli's house, and I remember Gary and Sherry Shipman were there, and others were there. We'd play a game of dominoes. What are some games that you're playing right now, now that you're staying at home a little bit longer? Put down in the comments some of the things that you're taking your time doing. But dominoes is a great game. But when I was a little kid, I never did play it the right way. All I would do is I would just line up the little dominoes like this and give it a shove, and I would make them all go down. And kids, if you can want to do that, you can actually do that with books or whatever you want to do around the house and just knock things down. It's called the domino effect. And what that means is you knock one thing down, knocks the next one, and the next one, and it just keeps going. And there is a domino effect in the spiritual life. And that is where one person shares Jesus with another person who shares Jesus with another person. It just keeps going. And it's been doing that for 2,000 years. And that's the thing we're looking at, tips for a follower. And today's tip is this: followers find their friends. And that's an important thing. We're going to look in Luke chapter 5 at Matthew and see how he followed Jesus. And then he wanted to find his friends to follow Jesus. Let me tell you a little story. There's a man by the name of Edward Kimball. He was a Sunday school teacher, and he shared Jesus with somebody else, and that person was Dwight Moody. Dwight Moody began to share Jesus, and a man by the name of J. Wilbur Chapman came to Jesus Christ and began to follow him. And then he talked about Jesus, and Billy Sunday became a Christian. And then he talked about Jesus, and Mordecai Ham became a Christian. And Mordecai Ham ended up going to Charlotte, North Carolina, and a young man by the name of Billy Graham trusted Jesus Christ as his own personal Lord and Savior. One by one by one, domino effect. But it didn't end there, because Billy Graham held a lot of crusades, and there was a Billy Graham crusade near Cincinnati, Ohio. A young teenager by the name of Marty Lewis went, trusted Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. He went home, and his father became a follower of Jesus Christ. His name was Joe Lewis. Joe Lewis started a church. I started attending that church, and I became a follower of Jesus Christ. And now I'm talking to you to follow Jesus. And so it went all the way from Edward Kimball, Dwight Moody, Wilbur Chapman, Billy Sunday, Mordecai Ham, Billy Graham, Marty Lewis, Joe Lewis, Greg Burdine, and now it's you. And that's really a great opportunity to be able to share Jesus, the domino effect, who we're reaching for Jesus. And if you've become a follower of Jesus, you know you long for your friends to become followers of Jesus, and we'll discover what Matthew did. In Luke chapter 5, we're going to begin reading in verse 27. This is what it says. And after these days, he went forth, Jesus, and saw a publican named Levi. That was Matthew. Matthew was his Roman name. Levi was his Hebrew name. Sitting at the receipt of custom. He was a tax collector, and he was collecting the taxes. And Jesus said to him, follow me. Two words. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. Isn't that great? I love what Matthew did, and it's really what we all should be doing. Matthew was invited to follow Jesus, and he got up and he started following Jesus. He left everything to follow Jesus. And then he arranged for his friends to follow Jesus. And that's what he did. He followed Jesus. He was a tax collector, which had a bad reputation in those days, and rightfully so, because tax collectors would tax way above what the ordinary tax was so that they could keep it for themselves. People didn't like them. They had hurt other people really bad. But he was there, and Jesus invited him to follow him, and Matthew left all and followed him. And that's the story that I have here. The thought is that follow Jesus, he's worth it. It was worth all the money that he had, the big fancy job that he had. He said, you know what? I'm leaving it all behind. I want to follow Jesus. And I love hearing stories about people who follow Jesus. Listen to this story about somebody who followed Jesus.
Hello, everybody. I'm Perry Siskel from Faith Baptist Church. Been going there about 10 years. Grew up in a church. My mom used to drop us off for Sunday school, and then we'd walk down to my aunt's house, and we'd go home. Well, they started going to church about I think eighth grade, they said, well, you need to join the church. And we all got baptized the same day. Life went on. Didn't change a bit. Grew up kind of a lot of sports, a lot of parties, a lot of fun. Got married and was on my own. Had a business going with milking cows with a partner. And Sherry and I got married and we had a little girl, Paige, our first. Decided that I didn't want that kid to really turn out like I was behaving, so we started searching for a church. Our veterinarian, he was a good Christian man, and he invited me to his church to a father and son banquet. Sherry and I talked a little bit and said, well, let's go check that church out on Sunday. So we went there on a Sunday and sat in the back, of course, and next Sunday, I guess it was the next Saturday, a friend of mine called me up and said, hey, you want to go hang around for a while? And I said, yeah, let's go. And Sherry stayed home with Paige, and I came home, and I did milk that morning, and she said, I came in the house. She said, let's get ready for church, and let's go. And I said, I don't feel too good. I'm going to stay home. No, you're going. So we sat about halfway up front, and he starts preaching out of the Bible about alcohol and things like that. You know, I'm going, geez, old Pete, he's talking right to me, you know. Invitation, nothing happened. I just, I was starting to be convicted, you know, by the Lord. I think another week went by when we went back to church, and we sat in the back. At the end of the service, the pastor said, you know, this pastor's a sinner, and he needs a Savior. I kind of looked around and bowed my head a little bit, and I said, you know, if that pastor's a sinner, what am I? So that day, at the end of an invitation, I went forward, and we had an assistant pastor, Rob Corbin, then, and he says, you know what you want to do? I said, yes, sir, I do. I said, I want to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. He said, let's go on back in the office. And he says, do you want me to start you out in prayer? I said, no, I want to pray. And I just asked the Lord into my heart that day. I just said, I needed the Savior in my heart. And I said, Jesus, come in my heart. And thank you for saving me. And but then a few years went by. I think that was 81. And we went on our own and started milking cows by ourselves. 20% interest hit, and we were paying like $60,000 in interest that 1 year. And I went down on one knee. I said, you know, Lord, ain't no way I'm going to get out of this mess I'm in. So you're going to have to help me. So it wasn't me that was making the decisions. It was God. He had his hand in it. And then we had, you know, the three more kids, and it's been a great ride with the Lord. Been over 40 years now. So I just pray that when you hear this, that you'll hear that preacher say, you know, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior. So just shake your head and walk up there someday and say, you know, I'm a sinner. So thank you for listening, and I thank you for the opportunity to share what the Lord has done in my life. I just pray that the Lord will touch your heart. So I'm going to close now in a little prayer. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, and just pray for that one that needs to know you as Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
I love hearing stories about when people decide that they want to follow Jesus Christ. You know, they're all a little bit different, but they're all a little bit the same. They all decide that they want to follow Jesus. And there are some things that are similar in everybody that decides to follow Jesus. If you've decided to follow Jesus, let me know in the notes. Say, you know what, I've decided to follow Jesus. However, some of you have not made that step. Maybe you're like Matthew. Maybe you're literally sitting there hearing an invitation to follow Jesus. And in a sense, I'm speaking for Jesus, follow him. But what do I do? What do I have to do? Well, it's as easy as simple as ABC. A, admit that you are a sinner. You know, the Apostle Paul says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. None of us are good enough to get to heaven by ourselves. We've sinned. So admit to God that you're a sinner. B, believe in Jesus Christ, that he's God's son, and that he died and rose again, and then commit your life to Jesus Christ. Surrender your life to him and receive him as your own personal Lord and Savior. Now, Matthew, all he had to do was simple. Got up and followed Jesus. What do we have to do? We have to pray. And I would encourage you to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your own Lord and Savior, to decide today that I'm going to follow Jesus. So let me pray for you, and I'm going to invite you to say a prayer as well. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that you love us enough that you sent Jesus to show us how much you love us. He died on the cross to pay for our sins. And anybody who would receive Jesus would have eternal life. And Lord, there's some people right now that want to follow Jesus. And you promised that if they would call on your name, you would save them. So save their soul today. Now, if you would like to follow Jesus today, simply bow your heads where you're at and just repeat this prayer from your heart after me. Dear God, I admit I am a sinner. I believe in Jesus Christ. He's your son, and he died on the cross for me. I commit my life to Jesus today. I want to follow Jesus. Amen. Now, if you sincerely prayed that prayer from your heart to turn from your sin and turn to Jesus, he saved you. You're a new person. But the Apostle Paul actually said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've decided to follow Jesus, and we want to help you. First of all, if you made that decision right now, in the notes, could you let me know, I've decided today to follow Jesus. Just write that down there. Or you can put the emoji of your hand up. I've decided to follow Jesus. We want to connect with you, and we want to give you some material to help you in your walk with Jesus Christ. Two things. We have a booklet. One is called Because I'm Saved, Your Next Step to Begin a Closer Walk with Christ. And the other is a New Believer's Bible, which is actually the New Testament, the story of Jesus, as well as some instructions on how to live the Christian life with some notes that are really helpful. If you'll let us know that you trusted Jesus or you'd like these books, we want to send them to you absolutely free of charge because we want to help you have the most successful beginning of your walk with Jesus Christ. Now, that's not the end of the story with Matthew, because we read he threw a party for his friends. It wasn't enough that Matthew found Jesus and began to follow him. He wanted his friends to follow Jesus. But not everybody was happy, because saints and sinners were mixing together in this party, and a group didn't like that. So let me read to you what ended up happening after that in verse 30. But the scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" And Jesus answering said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." A group of these religious leaders were upset that Jesus was eating with sinners. In other words, they didn't like the kind of people that he hung around with. And Jesus says, hey, if you got somebody sick, you want them to go to a doctor. These people have a spiritual sickness. I'm here to help them. Jesus was there to help, not to push people away, but to get closer to the people. It goes on, and Jesus said in verse 33, they said to him, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers? Likewise, the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink." And he said to them, "Can you make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days." They weren't just upset that Jesus was eating with the wrong kind of people. They were upset that Jesus was eating at all. Because they said, John the Baptist and the Pharisees, they tell their followers not to eat on certain days. And that their religion is pretty somber and prayerful and quiet. And you're throwing a party. You're eating and drinking. What's going on? And Jesus said, this is like a marriage. This is a celebration. People are coming to God. People are following Jesus. And instead of being sad about it and critical about it, we should be happy. In fact, Jesus said that when one person comes to repentance to God, there is rejoicing in heaven over all of that. That's a good reason to throw a party. He goes on, he explains this new angle of looking at a relationship with God. He says in verse 36, "He spake a parable unto them, no man putteth a piece of new garment upon an old, if otherwise then both the new maketh rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old." You got an old piece of cloth, and you got a new piece of cloth, and you got a hole in one, you try to cut one and fix the other, and it just doesn't work because they don't go together. Jesus said, I didn't come to patch up the old life. I came to give them a brand new life. I'm not trying to fix it up. It's done. Jesus came to give brand new life. And he goes on. He says, verse 37, "And no man puts new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish." New wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith, the old is better. You get used to the old way of doing things, and something new comes in, and you just don't like it, even if you think it's better. Jesus said, you got old and you got new. This is something that is brand new. We're doing a new thing to get people to have a relationship with God. So what are some principles? Matthew threw a party so his friends could hear about Jesus. Those of us that have friends that are far, far away from Jesus, what can we learn from this? Well, two things. Number one, move closer to those far from God. There's a tendency when somebody decides to follow Jesus that not only do they leave their old bad habits, but they leave their old friends. And we need to be careful about that, because Jesus doesn't want us just to leave what we've done. He wants us to go back to our friends and tell them how to follow him. That's what Matthew did. Matthew didn't segregate himself from his friends. He invited his friends to come and meet Jesus. So instead of pulling away from the people that are far from God, let's see if we can get a little bit closer. Let's see if we can reacquaint to get back together with them. A second thought that I think is good, try new ways to reach the lost. You know, sometimes the old ways don't work. Jesus talked about the old cloth and the old wine. Sometimes you need something brand new. And boy, aren't we learning some really neat new ways to reach people that are far, far away from God? People that would never come to church are now going to church online. We used to be we'd invite people to church. Now we invite people to watch it online. It's a great time to try new ways to reach people for Jesus. Even in the stories that I've been looking at last couple of weeks about people following Jesus, we discovered last week that there were four guys that brought their friend to Jesus, and instead of going in the front door because it was so crowded, they went up on the roof and dropped him down. And in this story, Matthew throws a party. What are some innovative new ways that you can think of to introduce your friends to the love that God has for them? One of my favorite stories is Tony Campolo. Tony Campolo is a Christian speaker, and he was in Hawaii one time, and there's about a 6-hour difference. And so he was there, couldn't go to sleep, 3 a.m, so he goes down, he finds an open diner, goes in and gets him a cup of coffee and a donut. And while he's there, quiet, in walks about 7 or 8 prostitutes. And they're walking in and jabbering up a storm, and he overhears one of them say, "Hey, girls, tomorrow's my birthday." And they just all give her a hard time, saying, "Well, what do you want us to do, throw you a party or something?" She said, "No, you don't have to be so mean. I just thought it'd be nice that you guys know it's my birthday tomorrow. Nobody's ever thrown me a birthday party." So they all left, and Tony Campolo thought of an idea. He looked at the guy that was behind the counter, and he says, "Hey," he said, "that girl said tomorrow's her birthday." He says, "So what?" He said, she said she's never had a party before. Why don't we throw her a party? I'll get the decorations and a cake. You invite her friends, and let's just throw her a party tomorrow." And the guy behind the counter says, "Nope, I'll bring the cake." And so that next morning, 3:00 a.m, that diner was decorated all over. The guy had a beautiful cake, and it was filled with prostitutes. She came in, and they all yelled and screamed, "Happy birthday." They sang the happy birthday song, and the guy came in with a cake with all the candles lit, and they sang the song. And she just stood there blubbering. He was crying. The girls were crying. Tony Campolo was crying. And it got in that weird situation where nobody knew what to do next. Tony Campolo said, "The only thing I knew to do," I said, "let's pray." And he started praying. And he prayed that this girl would know how much she's been loved. In spite of the hurts that she's felt in her life, help her to know that God loves her. Well, after the prayer, the guy behind the counter came up to Tony and said, "Hey, you never said you were a preacher man. So what kind of church you go to?" And Tony said, "I go to church that throws birthday parties for prostitutes at 3:00 a.m. And the guy said, "Yeah, don't go to that. There's no kind of church like that. Because if there was a church like that, I would go to that church." You know, there's a lot of people in our world that are looking for love, and they're far, far away from God. And we need to tell them that there is a God that loves them. There is a Savior, Jesus, who wants to restore their life and make it new. Let's make some connections. Let's move closer to them. And let's come up with some creative ways to introduce them to Jesus. Followers, find their friends. Let's find some friends.